Euros cheat sheet. Today, are we still on Group B?
No, we're on to Group C.
Woo.
We are turning our attention to the Netherlands. As ever, we're giving ourselves 90 seconds, so let's hit that timer there. So, the Netherlands finished second in Germany's qualifying group to finally get back to a tournament. They didn't qualify for the last Euros or the last World Cup, and they lost all of their games at Euro 2012. So it's been 13 years since they've won a game at a European Championships. This has basically been a period where their darts players have been better sporting ambassadors for the country than the footballers. It's worth reminding ourselves that Johan Cruyff described the Dutch style of play at the 2010 World Cup as ugly, vulgar, hard, hermetic, hardly eye-catching, hardly football style, and things under Van Gaal weren't much prettier. So style is as important as results in Dutch football, as we all know, and everything seemed absolutely perfect after a little period of time under Ronald Koeman. He was loyal to the 4-3-3, results instantly got better, but it is a very bad sign when your manager leaves you for the allure of Josep Maria Bartomeu, and it's even worse when he's replaced by Frank de Boer, who Jose Mourinho once described as the worst manager in the history of the Premier League. Now, de Boer initially went on the longest ever winless streak for a new Netherlands head coach and has since shown a pathetic inability to fix ACLs, and as a result, Virgil van Dijk has bowed out of this summer's tournament. The good news for the Netherlands is that Frankie de Jong has improved considerably under Koeman at Barcelona this season. 7 goals and 8 assists, and he is going to be the most important Dutch player going into this year's tournament. Finally, let us have a look at the home kit first of all. You look at that and you say to yourself, how isn't it international consensus that orange is the greatest colour in the world? I mean, that is just sensational. And then the away kit.
Some issues, obviously, but go on.
This is a polo shirt that would just about be passable.
That's not the away kit. That's not the away kit. That can't. You know, you got the wrong picture there.
No,
that's like a training top. It's not.
No, it is. I don't accept that. They've gone for the buttons.
Erroneous.
I couldn't believe it either.
That's like middle-aged man going to play golf thinking, yeah, I'm going to look cool with the kids. Look, it's Nike. Rory McIlroy sold me this.
Yeah.
That's not true. I don't believe you.
Like, I mean,
you've done bad journalism there, Owen. That can't be correct.
I checked it once. I'm a good journalist. I checked it once and it definitely has
really?
Buttons.
Really?
I saw buttons referred to in, I think it was a Goal article, the Goal.com article, who were going through all the kits.
This is mad.
Yeah. Like buttons on a jersey.
It's a golf shirt.
It's a golf shirt, yeah. Pitch and putt shirt, I would say.
It's pitch and putt.
Like, it's not even golf standard. It's like the kids who play on the PGA Tour from Oklahoma State who love to wear that little bit of orange. Like, that's perfect for them. They'll be wearing that in a few years' time.
Right.
At least the home jersey is nice.
Or Florida. Right, players to watch out for.
Yeah, so we mentioned Frankie de Jong. Let's actually just mention the attack here, first of all. Memphis Depay is the man. People are saying that the Netherlands don't have a great attacker. He's 27 years old at this point. He's going to play on the left. He's also been used as a false nine under Frank de Boer. He scored 6 goals in qualifying and was, by all accounts, just their best player throughout. He suffered a serious knee injury last season, but has come back incredibly well this year. A brilliant club season with Lyon. 20 goals and 12 assists in the league. And he captained them at times as well. He's now being linked with a move to Barcelona. So Memphis Depay is their attacker. As I say, could play on the left. If he does so, Luke de Jong will play through the middle, and then maybe Bergwijn of Feyenoord will play on the right-hand side. But they've also got Bergwijn in there, Anwar El-Ghazi of Aston Villa has been named in there, extended squad and promises in there as well. So they've got a few options, but maybe lacking that out-and-out number nine that can win them the tournament. I mentioned Frankie de Jong in midfield. Gini Wijnaldum is amazing for the Netherlands. He scored 8 goals in qualifying, was their top scorer in qualifying. Just this free role where he sometimes actually just pops up behind the front three, box to box, and like, he was brilliant under Koeman. He's been really good under De Boer. And then it's just that third midfielder spot which is up for grabs at the moment. It's going to be a shootout between Davy Klaassen, who's had a good season with Ajax, Martin Deroon, who's been in the team for Atalanta all season long, and Donny van de Beek, who we've seen little of all season long. So maybe Klaassen is the front runner there. And then in defence, like, it's interesting comparing this team to the 2014 team, which, as we know, got to a World Cup semi-final, shocked Spain on the opening weekend of that tournament. Their defence, even without Virgil van Dijk, I would contend it's better now than it was back then. They've still got Stefan de Vrij, who's been playing brilliantly with Inter Milan. And the change is that Ron Vlaar is out from 2014. and Matthijs de Ligt is in. So I think that's 100% a step up. And I think maybe the worries about the defensive issues are a tad overplayed, given you compare them with that 2014 team and it's actually a little bit better. But I still think there are enough issues in this team to suggest that they won't go all the way in this, even though that's how it looked in 2019. I'm tentatively going to predict that they're going to be semi-finalists because they're on a relatively easy side of the group. Like we've gone through, who was it yesterday? Belgium. Their path to the final is really, really tough. I do think the Netherlands will top their group. Then they'll beat Sweden. Then they'll beat Turkey, although like that one could go either way. But then they will lose the semi-final because it'll be either England, Portugal or Spain in that semi-final. Especially England or Portugal, I suspect, would take this Netherlands team.
It's time for us to do our second Euros cheat sheet today. It's Ukraine.
10 to 9, in case you thought you were up an hour early this morning. Let's move it on. Let's start that 90-second timer. Ukraine, or known by your dad as the Ukraine, were incredibly good in qualification. They topped the group, including Portugal, Serbia and Luxembourg. Luxembourg with that one Champions League player. They went unbeaten against Portugal, Serbia and Luxembourg. At Euro 2016, Ukraine finished bottom of their group and Andriy Shevchenko was brought in to channel his inner Valery Lobanovsky to try and take Ukraine out of their slump. He failed and there were widespread calls for his head after he couldn't make it to the 2018 World Cup. But Ukraine kept their faith in him, and look at them now. They've taken the handbrake off since that 2018 qualification campaign, and while Shevchenko has tried a number of formations, 4-3-3 seems to be his game plan of choice. Now, one of the players who has thrived in this setup has been Alexander Zinchenko of Manchester City, who we've mostly seen as a fullback in the Premier League, but has been used as a midfielder to brilliant effect for Ukraine. He is one of a few players from Europe's top leagues in this Ukraine squad, but mainly it is players that are based at home. Of the 35 players in the provisional squad, 23 of them play for either Shakhtar Donetsk or Dynamo Kiev. Now, things obviously have been pretty turbulent politically in the country over the last half a decade or more, and football has not been immune to it. Take Yaroslav Rakitsky, for example. He clocked up over 50 appearances for Ukraine, but was never picked again after moving to Zenit St. Petersburg in 2019. Let's have a look at their kit. Finally, their home kit is where we start. I personally needed laser eye surgery after looking at that straight into my eyeballs last night. Like burning sodium right in front of your eyes. And then this is the away kit. Less a slim fit from Joma there and more of a chest burster, I think it's fair to say.
The logo is like a kid's animal toy from a cartoon. See it? See the eyes and the nose? The nose of the football and the eyes? See it? Under the ears? Is it supposed to be?
I'm not sure it's supposed to
somebody,
be. But
somebody's going to tits. Like the weird thing that they don't actually speak. What is that kid's cartoon?
You think the Ukraine crest is based on a television show geared towards children?
Yeah. It's like the type of thing you'd see in a dark YouTube channel.
Right, okay. Our jersey content does tend to take strange turns. There's a nice pattern on that jersey as well for people who haven't picked up on it automatically. But that is your cheat sheet on Ukraine. I'll go through the forum while Jer is looking through. What are you Googling right now out of interest?
Kids cartoons Netflix.
And do you think they'll just come up with that? Maybe if you Google Ukraine crest as well, it'll come up since you're so convinced that it actually is based on that. Ukraine's form. So basically, since qualification, this incredible qualification campaign that they put together, they actually ended up getting relegated in the League of Nations. The Nations League. It was a group of death, though. Spain, Germany, Switzerland were in the group. They did beat Spain and Kiev in that group. They've drawn every game, won all then in World Cup qualification. They've played France, Finland, Belarus, and then they played Bahrain in a friendly on Sunday night. And the result in that one also happened to be 1-1. How are you getting on there?
Nearly.
Okay, I'll go through some of the key players while Jura continues to Google. So let's start with the attack, as we pretty much do with all these teams, because it's way sexier than the defence. Roman Yaremchuk. This is the guy who led Ukraine in qualification goal scoring. He only scored 4 goals. Nothing sensational, but still their top scorer. Has scored 17 goals in the Jupiler League in Belgium this season. He will lead the line, and he's relatively competent to do enough damage in their group. Their main attacking force, creatively, is Atalanta's attacking midfielder Ruslan Malinovsky, who will create everything. He's got 8 goals, 12 assists in Serie A this season. He can actually play right in front of the defence as well as right behind the attack, so he'll be all over the place. And then a name that's probably as recognisable as any Ukrainian player to Premier League viewers is Andriy Yarmolenko. who has struggled for fitness with West Ham this season. Another player who got COVID. West Ham obviously had a brilliant season, but Yarmolenko was in and out throughout the year. He's actually Ukraine's second top scorer of all time and only 10 goals behind Andriy Shevchenko. So he'll have that target in mind and will likely play on the right of the front three. This is a really good team, Ukraine. Their defence is solid as well. Matviyenko of Shakhtar Donetsk will be their mainstay at centre-back. And Andriy Pyatov, who has played forever, it seems, will continue in goals, despite the fact that they've got Andriy Lunin, who is on Real Madrid's books, who is a wonder kid in the goalkeeping stakes. It looks like Pyatov, who is 37 this summer, will continue in goals. And I've bought Ger Gilroy enough time to tell us, what is the crest?
Bing Bunny.
Bing Bunny.
Yeah.
What the hell is Bing, B-I-N-G?
Yeah, Bing Bunny.
Bing Bunny, it sounds like a terrible... Well,
it's Bing is the name of the cartoon, and the star is a bunny, and the crest is the same. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, the Bing Bunny, the Ukrainian mascot. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, I mean, it's wow. I mean, the likeness really couldn't be more.
So I mean, you don't see it. Maybe I've got some. I think it's there.
You are experiencing some sort of trip this morning to be able to see the crest of a jersey turning into an actual rabbit in front of your eyes.
Microdosing on football.
Wow, the Ukrainian football team does weird things to a man. The Bing Bunny crest.
But that crest is weird.
It is weird. I'm not denying that at all.
There's definitely look, I can see eyes and a nose and ears. Can you not?
Like when you put it that way.
Look at it, it's like fairly obvious.
Can we get the jersey back up if possible? Like, can we see the eyes? No, I can see what you mean. Like, there's a football in the middle, that's your nose. Got your nose.
The cheeks are the two things, and then the eyes actually on the other jersey, the eyes are kind of yellow, and the ears are pretty clear, and it's got a mohawk in the middle, right? 100%. That's like based on some kind of animal.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's uncanny, really. Now that you put it that way, that mohawk really does look like Bing Bunny's mohawk.
Does Bing Bunny have a mohawk?
He does, I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah,
he does.
There he is. Come on, I'm not the only one, am I? Am I?
Yes. Well, oh my God, now that you put them side by side, wow. Jesus, they are identical.
Look, we've questioned the quality of journalism that have gone into this slot already with the...
You're diluting our content, Ger, that's what you're doing.
I'm not. I'm just bringing the big guns of, like... journalistic experience to bear. Bing Bunny, Ukraine crest. I'm telling you, there's some marketing thing going on there, some kind of subtle nonsense, some kind of influencing the children to support Ukraine. Pied Piper stuff, next level.
Bing Bunny learns about the world around him by exploring and making the most of everyday situation. He experiences the joys of swings, playing with blocks, and watching fireworks. That is the MO of Bing Bunny, according to Wikipedia.
Andriy Shevchenko could get a bit of that, couldn't he?
Yeah. Well, hey, there we go.
You're talking this team up. You do a little bit of this, I've noticed, Owen. You talk the team up, and then you're like, yeah, not getting out of the group. But this team, by the sounds of it now, you're telling me they're getting out of the group.
They will get out of the group. Tomorrow's Euros cheat sheets, which I'm sure you're buzzing for, is Austria and North Macedonia. So please contain yourselves with the excitement for those two teams. They are the other two teams in this group. But into the fact that they've been also really good at times under Shevchenko, they will finish second in this group. They will then, though, lose to Italy in the round of 16.
I don't want you to do... Will we do your 90 seconds now on North Macedonia?
Yeah, I mean, it's North Macedonia morning, not Manchester United morning. Let's give ourselves 90 seconds for a breakdown of North Macedonia, our next team in Group C. So, North Macedonia, at their first ever major tournament, and they're here thanks to the greatness of the Nations League. While Poland and Austria finished above them in their group, North Macedonia finished ahead of Israel and Slovenia, but it was those wins against Kosovo and Georgia in path D of the playoffs that qualified them for this tournament. Goran Pandev scored the winner in that game against Georgia, and they backed that up then by beating Germany, which you might remember at the end of March, thanks in part to Timo Werner's, one of his like 500 misses from a sitting position so far this season. Pandev also scored in that game against Germany. And Alexander the Great, who isn't even a legit North Macedonian, has a 30-ton, 10 million euro statue erected of him in the centre of Skopje. Pandev, at this rate, is almost certainly going to get a statue double that size because he is North Macedonia's greatest goal scorer with 37 goals. He's also their most capped player of all time with 117 caps. They're running out of the tournament because of him. And he turns 38 this summer. If they get any sort of win, he will be the oldest outfield player to ever play in a winning side at a European Championships. I guess you could say we are in the middle of a Goran Pandevic.
Hey.
No apologies for that one. Football in Macedonia in general, seen a bit of an uptick in recent years. FK Vardar became the first Macedonian club to qualify for the group stages of a European competition in 2017 when they got to the Europa League group stages. But incredibly, FK Vardar aren't even the best version of Vardar. Vardar's handball team won the Champions League in 2017 and 2019, and the sport was arguably a bigger deal to many than football in until Pandev and those pesky kids came along and qualified them for this tournament. I've been put stopped in my tracks by that whistle. There's no more you need to know about Macedonia except for the fact that they haven't even released their kits. But thankfully, Macedonian Footy on Twitter has posted a photo of the kits they were wearing last year. So do we expect something like this? I don't know. They're keeping their cards close to their chest, whatever's going on with the kit makers in North Macedonia.
Okay. Anything else that... What's your prediction for them?
To finish bottom of the group.
Right. But an amazing story to get there.
An amazing story.
This is where we patronise them the way BT Sport patronise Villarreal.
Yeah, exactly. They do have a couple of players worth talking about. They'd like to have Yanni Alioski of Leeds United, of course. We love Leeds United full-backs on this show. He may not be any Luke Ayling, but he is certainly a good player. He's going to have loads of influence from left-wing back. He tends to stay there. He's not one of those players who gets moved into midfield because he's a notable name. He will play on the left. The other wing-back is Stefan Ryskovski, who plays for Dinamo Zagreb. Those two players are key. You'll have Pandev up front playing in a sort of roaming role. And then they've got Nestorovsky playing beside Pandev or maybe leading the line as well. He plays for Udinese and, again, just kind of bringing that big club experience. In terms of any other players that are worth mentioning, you've got Elif Elmas, who came close to joining Leeds last summer. Actually, he plays for Napoli, although mostly off the bench. And then their goalkeeper, Stole Dimitrevski. He is the starting goalkeeper for Rayo Vallecano, looking to get a move to a top of the Liga team. He is keeping Zinedine Zidane's son out of the starting team at Rio at the moment. So,
all right.
Great story, but bottom of the group.
We've got another Euros cheat sheet coming for you. Who have we got?
We've got Austria. Let's give ourselves 90 seconds. Never have they got out of their group at a European Championships. They finished bottom of a group involving Iceland, Hungary and Portugal in 2016, and they have not qualified for a World Cup since 1998. But they will fancy their chances of getting out of a group this time with the group they're in. As you've mentioned, they've got North Macedonia. They've already beaten them twice in qualifying, and when they finished second in Poland's group. And their nickname in the local tongue is Das National Team. Unfortunately, I don't speak Austrian, so I can't translate that one for you. But the main player on Das National Team is still David Alaba, who we know all about. We have yet to see a position that David Alaba is unable to play, and reports this week suggest he is very much going to be a Real Madrid player next season for the national team. Das National Team, he's likely to play on the left wing this summer. Now, 20 of Austria's squad members play for German clubs, but the one I want to mention next plays for a Chinese club, earning a big fat £200,000 a week. It is, of course, Marko Arnautovic, who you might have forgotten even existed, playing in a league that you might have forgotten even existed. He's 5 games into the new season with Shanghai Port, playing with Oscar and Aaron Moy in a team entirely comprised of players that you owned in FPL in 2017. They are top of the table, and Arnautovic has already scored 3 goals. He was also Austria's top scorer in qualifying, and between himself, Alaba and Marcel Sabitzer, there might actually be an attack worth watching in this Austria team. Finally, let's have a look at the kit. A word of warning, please contain yourselves. Look at that absolute beauty. That is the home kit for Austria. And then the away kit, also just perfect.
It's basically the Arsenal jersey, that's why you like it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just so gorgeous. I mean, it's so nice.
You're such a homer.
It's so nice. I mean, that home jersey for Austria is the one that I would pay money for above all others. That's just... Name a better international jersey.
It's just the Arsenal. I'll wait. It's just the old traditional Arsenal jersey. That's exactly what it is.
Well, Puma didn't nail it for Arsenal during their tenure. Adidas have had a much better stint in charge of the Arsenal jersey. But Puma have certainly nailed that Austria jersey, and it's lovely.
Austrians speak German, Owen, says Bernard Lawless.
I know that.
Austrians are sound lads and very good drinkers, says Will. And Guten Morgen, says Frank.
No, actually, I actually did know that about Austrians. I think that was actually supposed to be a joke. But I wrote it while delirious after the Manchester United game last night at about midnight. So to be honest with you, I don't really know.
That's fair enough.